Thank you, Brian. There are some great truths in those words. Amen. How much we complain and how much we go with, say to the Lord, the things that we've done and that we do. And it doesn't even get close to comparing to what he's done for us. Thank you. Thank you for that song. If you would, if you haven't already, go ahead and you'd like to use them, grab the papers out of the bulletin. And it's got the outline and kind of where we're heading direction-wise with the message. I will remind you that last Sunday we looked at fighting for an awesome friendship, and we looked at some of the what it took, why we needed friends, and what it took to be a good friend. And I thought the next obvious step was to look at the most important friendship that you and I can get, and that you and I can have. And that is to develop a friendship with God. Let's have a word of prayer together. I'd pray for our prayer requests that are on our list, and I decided I'd do that this right now instead of putting kind of a pause, because I don't want us to get too far behind. So let's have a word of prayer together, and then we're going to look at this. Romans 5, verses 10 through 11. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings. We thank you for your guidance and for your protection. We thank you for those times when we complain to you and we say, oh, our load is so heavy. And you remind us that you carry the heaviest load, but that you, through your strength and through your power, that we have that ability to carry and to do whatever it is that you've asked us to do. Lord, be with each one on our prayer list. Be with those that we mentioned this morning. Lord, we thank you for the provisions. We thank you for the protection that you give. Lord, we thank you for the answered prayers. Lord, we just ask that you continue to be with each one that's on our list. And Lord, just continue to be with the families. Lead, guide, and direct us. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It's in your name that we pray it. Amen. Your relationship and my relationship to God is kind of complex, if you want to look at it, if you want to just try to label it. When you try to talk about what kind of a relationship we have, he is our Father, he's our Creator, he's our Judge, he's our Master, he's our Lord, he's our Redeemer, he's our Savior, and he's so many, many things. But the one that we sometimes get confused about is sometimes hard for us to understand, and that's the first blank that you have in your sheet. The most shocking of all these relationships is that God also wants to be your friend, and he wants to be my friend. We learned that when we were kids, didn't we? If we were around the church much at all, we learned that Jesus wants to be our friend. James 4:8 says, draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. If we want to know what is the perfect or the preferred relationship with God to man, then we need to go back and look at when that relationship was in its original state. And that is back at the very beginning in the book of Genesis. We find where man and woman lived in the Garden of Eden, and God had a relationship with them. He had the ideal relationship. There was no religion. There was no rituals. I put down there were no rules, but really there was one rule, wasn't it? And that is, you don't eat from one tree. But everything else, that was that a relationship that God had. The Bible says that Adam and Eve delighted in the Lord. The Bible says that they walked with the Lord through the garden. He talked to them and they talked with him, and they had a deep, intimate relationship. That is the relationship that God wants with you and I. He wants to be our friend. But then sin entered in, didn't it? Bless their hearts. They had one rule and they couldn't keep that one, could they? That ought to give us some idea about how we do with rules, huh? But sin entered in, and that relationship was damaged. That relationship was altered. And then we see throughout the rest of the Old Testament, we really don't see this concept of a lot of people being called friends with God. We have a few. Abraham was called a friend of God, Moses, David, Enoch, Job. But by and by, there weren't a whole lot of friendships when they were relationship when you looked at with God. They did not have this personal friendship with God. As a matter of fact, the priests had to prepare for quite a while to go into the presence of God when he talked about going into the temple. But then something happened, didn't it? And his name is Jesus. And he changed that whole situation. He died on the cross, and literally, the scriptures say that curtain that separated everybody from the presence of God and the temple from the Holy of Holies was torn from the top to the bottom. And what that did is that symbolized the fact that separation because of sin between God and man was gone. Jesus built a bridge and he spanned that gap, that separation. Now we each have direct access to him. And that's where we find the idea with that, with all that in mind, is Romans 5, 10, and 11, where Paul writes, "We are restored to friendship with God by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies. So we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us in making us friends with God." It's all because of what Jesus did, amen, that we can have that relationship like Adam and Eve had with God at the very beginning. It's really just a word study there. It's pretty interesting. That word, that language, "I call you my friends," that language of my friends, we kind of have, maybe don't have the best concept about it, because we talked about last week that a lot of us, you know, we have a Facebook account and we say, oh, well, we've got, you know, 230 friends. The truth of the matter is you have 230 people that you are somewhat connected to on the internet. I don't know that we all have very many of us have 230 intimate friends. Those are acquaintances, aren't they? But that's not what God wants. God doesn't want acquaintances. He wants us to be friends. He wants us to have a relationship with him. And the word that's used here really shows that to us. That word friends is talking about, and it's the same word that would be used for your best man at your wedding, or it would refer to the king's inner circle. And we begin to understand that starts to narrow it down quite a bit, isn't it? That's when Paul said that we making us friends with God. He's talking about more of an intimate relationship. And I've given you some verses there, Exodus 34:14. Hosea 6:6, Acts 17, and those are all just talking about, I'm just making the point of how important is this relationship to God. It is highly important. God wants this relationship. As a matter of fact, that's one of the two purposes for us living on this earth, is that we would get to know him, know him better, and get to and love him. So it talks, those verses talk about that, but I want us to move on and I want us to look at these practical steps. How do we deepen that relationship? How do we build that relationship with God? Some of this we've talked about before. Some of it has been really brought to light this week. And so I want us to look at these steps or these ideas about what we need to do to deepen that relationship, to make sure that we have this relationship with Jesus as and with the Father, that we are friends. So number one, what do we have to do? We have to make knowing God our number one priority. I know we've said that a lot of ways, a lot of different times. We've got to make knowing God our number one priority. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We talk about this a lot, but I want to tell you something. I don't think there's a person here that would think, well, I can develop a close relationship with people during my spare time. It doesn't work that way, does it? It takes effort. As a matter of fact, there's a reason that I still added that fighting for a relationship with God. It takes work. And we can't do it just in our spare time. Well, we can't do it with God either. It takes work. Philippians 3:8. Everything else is worthless compared to the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus. I've declared everything else, counted it all as garbage, so that I may know Christ. It's got to be a thing of importance to us. We have to make that the number one priority in our life. Jeremiah 29:13, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. We've got to make it the number one priority in our life. Second thing we have to do, and again, this is something that we've talked about many times. It's not a surprise to anybody. Not only do we have to make knowing God in this relationship our number one priority, number two, we have to slow down and be quiet. Now, if I wasn't attempting to be politically correct, I'd say we need to sit down and shut up. We need to be quiet and slow down and listen to God. You always have time for what's important to you. You can make time to do anything that's important. Now, I know some of you may be sitting there going, "Oh, but Brother Mark, you don't know my schedule. You don't know how hard it is for me. Just 5, 10, 15. If you're talking about spending an hour with God in God's Word, my goodness, I do know. Y'all forget for most of the years that I pastored churches, I also taught school. I understand. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying that if it's important enough to us, we'll make time to do it, won't we? And I recommend it. I tell you, you are never going to develop the relationship that you want to have with God if you don't just slow down and be quiet. I like this verse, Psalms 25:14. It says, friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who reverence him. With them he shares the secrets of his covenant. What does that word reverence mean? It means that you reserved time. If you reverence something, you reserve time for it, don't you? It's important to you. We've got to sit down and slow down and be quiet and listen to God and let him talk to us. Now, Matthew, and I love this in the Message Bible, Matthew 6:5-6. When you come before God, don't turn into a theatrical production. Just find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can imagine. Manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. We've got to slow down and be quiet. We've got to make knowing him the number one priority in our life. And here's number three. You've got to decide whose friendship you really want. Remember I said I chose that word fighting for a reason? You and I have to decide whose friendship do we really want most. See, we don't have time to where we can devote big old chunks of time to everybody that's on our Facebook friends list, do we? That's kind of the neat thing about Facebook. You post it once and it gets everybody. But we have to decide whose friendship we want the most. because we don't have time to divide ourselves that much. We've got to decide who we want to be our best friend. Timothy, 1 Timothy talks about this. 1 Timothy 6, says some people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much notoriety you have. I don't care how positive you think your life has been. If you don't know God, you're not successful. You're not doing what God put you on this earth to do. You've missed something, in other words. James speaks about this. John 3:16 talks about how God, for so God so loved the world, but yet we read in 1 John where it says we aren't to love the world. And sometimes there's a question about that, and I just wanted to take a minute and point out that what God's talking about, we are to love the people of the world. We're just not to love its value system more. We've got to decide whose friendship we want the most. Then he goes on to say in John 15:14, you are my friends if you obey me. I got thinking about this. I thought, you know, a lot of non-believers don't understand this. And probably some believers may not understand it either. A lot of non-believers think that we obey God out of fear, out of obligation, whatever words you want to put there. But in reality, what God is telling us, that we honor him and we obey him out of love. He said, Jesus said it in John 15. He said, I loved you as the Father has loved me. And when you obey me, you remain in my love, just as I remain in the Father's love when I obeyed him. I have told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. We don't obey God because we're scared to death. We decide what friendship is most important to us. And then because it's our relationship with God, we obey him out of love. Fourth thing, we talk about this quite a bit. We must maintain a constant conversation. I said we must sit down and be quiet and listen to him. But let me tell you something. If that is the only time you ever talk to God, is when you've allocated a little period of time, you're missing some great conversation time then. We were talking about this in Sunday school. Most every other religion tells us that there is things that you must do to have these relationships. We understand Christianity is the only one that says it's already done. It's already taken care of. It's what Jesus did. All these other religions also get very specific. Muslims, for example, say they are required to pray 5 times a day. As believers, we say we're supposed to pray. God's Word tells us we pray all the time. You have a constant conversation. Now, you may say, well, man, Brother Mark, that's kind of dangerous. You know, driving down the road with your eyes closed. Did I say anything about to have a conversation with God, you got to have your eyes closed? We have a conversation with him just like you have with somebody. I know you do it in your house. We do it in our house. We get talking about something and something will happen and one person will need to walk to go take care of. When they walk back in, what do? You just pick up the conversation right where you were at, right? Same thing. When you have a friendship, when you have a relationship, then you need to maintain a constant communication, constant conversation with God. Then I want to bring you to number 5. And this is really one that's hit home this week. And that is that we must trust God in our pain. We must trust God in our pain. As I thought about this, I realized there is different kinds of pain. Now, hear me out on this, but there is good pain. I promise you, if you go and you ask Taylor, I started to say Autry, but it's Watson now, you ask her about last Thursday, if you ask her about getting Abigail here, was there any pain? She's going to go, yes, there was. But if you ask her if that was good pain or bad pain, what do you think she's going to tell you? She's going to say good pain, isn't she? Because it produced something. If you asked Ava, well, have you had any pain in all of your rehearsing and practicing for your competition that you went to? If you could get her to talk to you, a lot of times she's kind of shy, she'd probably tell you, yeah, there was times when I was hurting, there was times when I was tired. But if you asked her, was it a good pain or a bad pain, what would she tell you? Now that she's won an award and they've got recognized, and she'd say it was good pain, wasn't she? Wouldn't she? Same thing for those kids that won the state UIL qualifiers. Same thing for those who go into rehab. Same thing for those athletes. There is what I call good pain. And that is that time that shortly after that we receive the benefit of that pain. We are to trust God in that, and we do. And I'll be honest with you, during those it's pretty easy, isn't it? When you're standing there receiving an award, you go, oh, yes, thank you, God. We did good. But what we see, what we know a little bit more about is probably the one that I just call bad pain. And that is that pain, that physical pain, like my dad's been going through, like Garrett's going through. Like Terry Sims, and I failed to mention him this morning, another good friend of ours who is having a heart procedure done, same kind of procedure that John had, as a matter of fact. But he's had some complications with it. He's had some pain. Same kind of pain that we're talking about that Billy went through. I promise you, if you asked him, you know, were you in any kind of pain? I'm gathering he'd probably be shaking his head going, yeah, it hurt a lot. And we don't see the good in that, do we? So we call that bad. Same thing with topping and everybody that's had what I call bad physical pain. We need to trust God in the midst of that pain. But you know what? There's not only physical, there's emotional pain, isn't there? Every one of those people that I just named that went through physical pain with health issues, talking about their families. I'm here to tell you, it was not fun Wednesday. And I'm sure it wasn't fun in the midst of them trying to figure out what was going on with Billy for Karen and for Vita and for all that. All of us, right? But what I'm trying to tell you is one thing that's really come to light. I knew it and I felt it and I've talked about it, but it was just really brought home this week. It's in the midst of that pain that if we'll trust Him, our friendship with God, our relationship with God is strengthened. There's also emotional. Not only physical and emotional, there's also that spiritual. Now, I don't want to see anybody raising their hand. This is not, but I know because I've talked to different ones and I've been there before in my life. But there is that spiritual pain when things are going on. You honestly don't know for sure if you really believe if God is hearing your prayers. We even talked with those that say, you know what, I love God, I've loved Him for a long time, but right this moment, I'm telling you, I don't even know if I believe in Him or not. I want to tell you, it's okay if you just trust Him. Then He'll help you with the belief, won't He? He'll help you in this relationship. And what I've learned is in that pain, if we allow Him, then he is able to develop that relationship closer and closer and closer. Amen. Have you all experienced that as well? Just say amen if you have. We all have. And I want to tell you, God wants that relationship. It's something about pain motivates us. Our prayer life is better. All of a sudden, we can find some time to be spend alone with God, can't we? In the midst of pain. I'm with you guys. Most of the time, I would say, "Oh yeah, let's stay away from the pain thing." But the truth of the matter is that if we trust Him during it, it's one of the greatest steps of developing our relationship. I can tell you, it's been in those valleys that I've gotten more and known, gotten closer and learned more about God than I ever did when I was up on those mountains. We need to trust God, even in the midst of the pain. And I want to end this morning by just saying a couple things. One, if you're facing that troubles right now, if you're facing that pain right now, listen to the Psalms 91:14. God says, "I will get you out of your trouble. I will get you to the best of care if you'll only get to know me and trust me." And there are those who would say, "Well, it's not really pain, Brother Mark, but I'm just maybe not as close to him as I once was." I've got one for you too. Look at Job 29:4. He says, "In my early years, the friendship with God was felt in my home." Jeremiah 15 says, "If you return to me, I will restore you so that you can continue to serve me. If you speak words that are worthy, you will be my spokesman. You are an influence. You are to influence them. Do not let them influence you." See, what that verse tells me is if you're not as close to God as you once were, it's time to get back to Him. And that might mean you have to not let some things and some people influence you that have been. And I know this. I know my God is able. And just like the song that Brian was singing for us this morning, in the midst of everything that goes on, it's pretty easy to complain. It's pretty easy to say, "Well, God, this thing and that thing." But all it takes is for us to truly understand and remember what He went through for us. I got tickled at my dad. First episode that he had on Wednesday. Not about the episode, but afterwards. My little brother had just gotten there, and he was talking to him, and his nurse at the time, his name is Billy. We love Billy. Billy's a great guy. Got Dad brought back, and my dad asked him, he said, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, you were gone there for a few seconds, Mr. Wynn." And my dad looked at him, and he said, "Well, so in other words, what you're telling me is me and Jesus had a little chat, huh?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I believe you did." And I was sitting there and I thought, yep. And that probably makes it even harder to come back from the visit, doesn't it? When you get a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. Well, we're grateful that the care and everything else that my dad gets. But I want to tell you something. We have to decide while we're on this earth what's going to happen when we go to have a chat with Jesus. Amen. So don't leave here without knowing that you're developing a friendship, a relationship that will not only last this lifetime, but all of our life, for all of eternity. It's important. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,